Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Mark chapter 4, toward the end of the chapter, we're taking up our study, which we just began on Tuesday past, a new study, the challenging questions of Christ, the challenging questions of Christ. When the Lord speaks to you, you know, there is usually within his words that which would challenge you, make you think, stir you up. And I hope that as we look at this question and others later, there will be a stirring within our hearts. Now the question that we're considering is that which we find in verse 40. Look at it, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now we began the study on Tuesday past, as I say, and we're going to take up where we left off. And if I might just remind you what it was we were thinking about on Tuesday past, we were considering how that the Savior highlights here in his question that his disciples in their actions were showing that their faith had greatly diminished and almost disappeared. How is it? You have no faith. They showed they had no faith at that particular time. And as a result, in the midst of danger, they were frightened. Where there's faith, even in danger, there's no fear. They, furthermore, were blind to the care and the love of God toward them. They panicked and forgot, God loves me. He's not going to abandon me and let me become a victim of this storm. They forgot that. See, faith keeps before our eyes God's love toward us. And then again, because their faith had diminished and shrunk, they said harsh things to the Lord. They had said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care about us? That was an awful, awful thing to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, questioning his love. And that's what happens when faith diminishes. We go on from that. And today I want us to look, first of all, that faith in Christ is what we require when we face a storm. That's the biggest need. You know, now, if you were to go to the seaside and maybe hire a rowing boat for a wee bit of a row round the harbour or whatever, if I'm not mistaken, by law, the law requires you to wear a life jacket. Now, when I was younger, and I did that, I didn't have to wear a life jacket. Never thought about it. Didn't know where to go to find one. But now, you have to wear a life jacket. Faith is like a life jacket. Keeps you from sinking, even in a storm. Even in a storm. And faith in Christ is what you and I need to face the storms of life. Because there's one thing sure, you will meet storms in your life. You can be absolutely certain of that. Just as here in good old Ulster, you can be sure that one day or another, it'll rain. You can be sure of that. There'll always be a little rain will fall upon us. Well, as Christians, we can be sure we're going to run into a storm sooner or later. Not just one. Not just one. You only have to think of the Bible. Think of all the troubles the people of God ran into. What the apostles ran into. Just think back what our forefathers in this country ran into. Because they were Christians, because they believed the Bible, they had all sorts of encounters with those who were enemies. Storms that threatened them. And what was it saved them in the midst of the storm? Faith in Christ. That's what upheld them. Faith in Christ. And here the poor old disciples have, as it were, taken off their life jackets. And consequently they're scared of drowning and sinking in the storm. That's what made them say what they did. That's what made them act as they did. So, faith will show itself. I said Tuesday that the lack of faith will show itself. When you haven't got faith, it'll show itself. The panic amongst the disciples showed their faith was gone. But when you have faith, it will show itself. When you have faith in Christ, it'll show itself. That's what enables even ungodly people who know nothing about the Bible and nothing about the Lord. That's what enables them to look at a Christian and say, There's something different about them. There's something that just makes them different from others. I don't really know what, but there's something that marks them out. Because they recognize the marks of faith, the evidence of faith in their lives. You see, faith will give us confidence and calm in the midst of the storm, because it will remind us, reveal to us, that we're united to Christ. We're linked to Him. What is it the wee hymn line says? Linked on to Christ the Conqueror, and to Calvary's victory too. That assures me in the darkest hour that God will see me through. You see, we're linked to Christ, and faith reminds us of that. Whenever we're in trouble, our faith in God, our faith in what the Bible has to say, will remind us. But you're linked on to Christ. Doesn't matter what the trouble is. You're linked to Christ, and since Christ cannot perish, neither can we. We, listen to me, put this down in your memory. We are as indestructible as God. None can overthrow God. None can destroy God. And because we're linked to Him, we're part of Him. The Bible says He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. There is an intimate, close relationship between us and the Lord Jesus. And because of that, we are as indestructible as Him. We're as indestructible as Him. And faith reminds us of that. But you see, the disciples have lost out. Their faith has shrunk. And consequently, they have forgotten that they are linked to Christ and are indestructible. The faith will give us peace. The Lord Jesus, He slept while the storm was on. We read that in the little portion. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. No fear there. No panic there. Well, you see, faith will remind us we're linked to Christ. We can sleep as He sleeps in the midst of a storm. We can share His peace. What a wonderful pillow faith is. We can lay down our head in the midst of the greatest of storms and sleep when you have faith in Christ. May I remind you just what faith is? Few of you will remember a lady called Auntie Edna. She was Miss Edna Weir, labored for the Lord amongst the boys and the girls from the earliest days back in Lispaloff. Became an evangelist in Bethel when I was there, and she continued that work, and she worked here in the school as well, came and helped us out here. And I always remember she used to teach the boys and girls a little line, faith is just believing what God says He will do. That's what faith is. It's just believing that what God says He will do. That's what faith is. And when a Christian comes to the Bible, what they read in the Bible, they believe. When God says He made the world, the Christian says, I believe. When the Lord Jesus said, I died on the cross for sinners, faith says, yes, I believe it. When the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to come back again to this world to reign, then our faith says, yes, I believe that, and I look forward to it. So that's what faith is. And faith in the Lord Jesus enables us in the midst of a storm to share His peace. To share His peace. That's a wonderful thing, oh, that you might learn this lesson. The peace of God, we're told in Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep your hearts and mind in peace and contentment without fear. Remember Daniel? We heard about Daniel on Friday and on the Lord's Day morning. Now, when Daniel was taken and thrown into the den of lions, if I was to take you and march you towards a cage in which there are a whole lot of lions and tell you that I'm going to put you in through the door here into the lions, you may drag your feet a wee bit. You may dig your heels in and say, wait a minute, I don't want to go in there. But I have absolutely no doubt that when they took Daniel towards the den of lions, he just walked with them. Wasn't frightened. Perfectly at ease and calm. Why?
Because he believed God would keep him. He believed God.
That's what faith in Christ does. It enables us to sleep down calmly in the midst of the greatest storm. I'll read to you some verses from Psalm 3. You older ones can look it up. There is no better way of remembering portions of God's Word than just seeing it on the page in your Bible. Psalm 3 begins, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Or think about that. That's what that wee word basically means. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. As a result of this, he says, I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. That's the exact same as we're looking at the Savior sleeping in the midst of the storm. That's how it is with God. He doesn't get troubled. And if you have faith in the Lord Jesus, you enter into, you share his peace and calm in the midst of life's storms and troubles. Faith in Christ, furthermore, assures us of a safe arrival on the far shore. You see, when the disciples in their panic said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What were they saying? We're never going to get to the shore. We're going to sink. That's what they were saying. But let me tell you, if you have faith in Christ, you're going to get to the shore. What do I mean? You're going to get to heaven. We're all on a journey. If you're saved, you're on a journey. You're sailing with Christ. Yes, we run into storms, but we're going to arrive at our destination. We're not going to sink. We're going to arrive. I was just noticing how chapter 5 begins. Verse 1 says, And they came over unto the other side of the sea. Storm or no storm, they arrived. Oh, how good it is, boys and girls, to have this assurance that we're going to arrive in heaven. Now, the world can't understand that, because they don't have faith. And the world doesn't have that assurance that faith produces. And if you ask an unconverted person about eternity, about heaven, about what comes after death, all they can say is, I just hope. I hope. They can't say, oh yes, I'm going to heaven because the Lord Jesus will bring me there. They can't say that because they don't have faith in Christ. They're not in the vessel of salvation. They're not in the boat that takes you to heaven. By the way, are you in the boat that takes you to heaven? Are you in the boat that takes you to heaven? Because if you're not in the boat, you'll never get to heaven. If you're not with Christ in the vessel, you'll never get to heaven. But if you are in the boat, if you are with Christ, then heaven you most assuredly will get to. Most assuredly get to. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have everlasting life. So, faith in Christ is what we require when we face the storm. Now let me say something else. The Savior is looking at Peter, and he's looking at James, he's looking at John, he's looking at them all, and he's questioning them. Why have ye no faith? And it's clear that he expected them to have faith. And you know, boys and girls, there are people in this world that you can expect to have faith. Who am I talking about? Well, first and foremost, they who have heard the gospel preached, you would expect them to have faith. These men had heard words, boys and girls, that we can never describe. They're so wonderful. So wonderful. The gospel is likened unto a seed, even in this fourth chapter. If you look back in chapter 4 to that portion that begins in verse 3, he says, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. There's the parable of the sower. And the Lord Jesus explains about it. And he says that the sower, look at verse 14, the sower soweth the word. He's picturing himself going about his work. And just as the farmer in the field sowed the seed, so he went about sowing seed. What seed?
That seed, the Bible.
Just as here this morning, I'm sowing the seed. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And I'm hoping that it will fall into your heart, take root, and grow. In fact, I believe that that's the case with some of you already. You believe God's word. You took it in, just as the ground takes in the seed, and the seed begins to grow. You took in God's word, and it's been growing in your heart. You have faith. So I'm saying that the Savior, speaking, I believe, with at least a measure of astonishment, how is it you have no faith? He's speaking to those who had heard him preach, and he's saying, how is it you have no faith? For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul wrote in Romans. So when we hear the Bible, what God has said, what God has promised, then you would expect faith to be the result. Do you believe the Bible? You've heard it many, many times. Do you believe what you have heard from the Bible? Do you believe God? And if you don't, then I have to say to you this morning, how is it that you have no faith? Furthermore, it was astonishing that there would be a lack of faith in these men because of what they had seen. Not only what they had heard, but what they had seen. They saw the Lord working miracles. Miracles so numerous, I don't believe they can be numbered. I feel that there wasn't a day went past in the life of the Lord Jesus when the disciples were following him and being with him. I don't believe a day went past when he didn't work a miracle, at least one miracle. That's what I believe, because at the end of John's Gospel, there are words that I have looked at many times, words that I have rejoiced in many times and which I have found comforting. This is at the end of John chapter 20, and many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, there are many accounts in the Gospels, aren't they, of the miracles the Lord Jesus worked. Well, listen, there are many more that are not written. They're not written. Because to write them all down would create such a big book. We couldn't carry it around with us. So God has just given us a few examples of the miracle-working power of the Lord Jesus. And when you see what the Lord Jesus has done, God expects you to believe. God expects you to have faith. But you know, there's something that we have that the disciples didn't have. Yes, there's many miracles they saw that we don't know about. That's true. But then, there are many things we know about that they didn't know about. What am I speaking of? Well, all the disciples died in the very first century of this age. I think they were all gone, say, by AD 100 or thereabouts. This is AD 2021. Well, by AD 100, the disciples were all gone. The apostles were all in heaven, I do believe. Well, since that time, there have been miracles wrought throughout the world, wherever the gospel has gone. And we have the testimony, the record of centuries, hundreds and hundreds of years of gospel victories. The disciples at most had 3 years, if I can get three fingers to stand up, they had 3 years of the Savior's miracle working. But we can look back in the pages of history books and read about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in all countries of the earth, virtually. So we have far more evidence of the wonders of God to rely upon, and therefore, if I might put it like this, God has every right to expect us to believe with all this evidence. And if you haven't believed, how he must say to you today, how is it you have no faith? In the light of all the missionary adventures, in all the great men and women who went not caring for their own lives, many of them sacrificing their lives in order to bring men and women who were in darkness the gospel, seeing such evidence of love and mercy and grace wrought in the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women.
How is it?
No faith. You know, this is the question every sinner will face one day. There's a little foreshadowing of the Day of Judgment here in this boat. When Christ will ask the question, how is it you have no faith? Because though I'm using that as a text today and I'm asking you this question, one day, if you die without Christ, you're going to have to answer this question put to you by the Saviour himself. Now, here the Saviour is saying, how is it your faith has shrunk? How is it there's been a lapse in your faith? That's what he was asking these disciples. But one day the Lord Jesus is going to ask sinners, how is it there's a total lack of faith in your hearts? How is it you rejected everything that was set before you in the Bible? How is it you have no faith? How is it you have no faith? Men are without excuses. That's what that question surely implies. How is it you have no faith? You have no excuse for not having faith. And I'll close with these words. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, boys and girls, let me say to you, if we go out around the fields, look around, look at the grass, the weeds, the flowers, the trees, the shrubs, the birds, do you know what we have there? The footprint of God. If somebody was to come round your house in the darkness of the night and you didn't know about it, didn't see them, but when you went out in the morning there in the flower bed, there were these footprints, you'd know somebody had come. And in actual fact, if you were a bit of a detective and you looked at the footprints, you could say, that's a size 10 shoe. Furthermore, look at the pattern that there is on the sole of the shoe. Look at the width of it. Look at how far down into the ground the print has gone. Therefore, the person who wore it was of a certain weight. You didn't earn a whole lot from a footprint. Well, when we look out there and see what God has done, what he has created, we can learn something about God. We are taught by nature itself. There is a God who is all wise and all powerful. Everybody's talking about the pollution of the seas, the pollution of the air, climate change. That's all done by man. Man is taught to destroy this earth by his stupidity and folly. But still the earth is gloriously beautiful. Do you know why? Because God not only created the earth, but he has preserved it. That shows his kindness, his love, his wisdom, his power. One other verse. Psalm 19 verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I was looking at that picture that's painted and up there on the wall this morning when I came in and sat down. I was thinking, who was it painted? That looks very, very nice. It shows some skill. It is to be admired. Well, out there, you have the handiwork of God. It's raining today. Yes, I know you don't like it because it means you don't get out at break time. Well, it might clear by then, but if it doesn't, you're going to get out to kick the ball about because it's raining. But let me tell you, God in his wisdom sends the rain. He sends the rain. And this land is green. More green than maybe any other part of the world. Because God sends us rain. Feeds the grass and the shrubs and all the rest. Oh, boys and girls, the wisdom of God is there for us to see. He's left his signature on the face of the earth. How is it you have no faith in the light of all that? Think about what I said. Let's bow. Write your word, Lord, in the hearts of the boys and the girls, indeed upon us all. And may we see all around us evidence of thy handiwork. Bless us and strengthen our faith. And where there is no faith this morning, Lord, bring little ones to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Remember the meeting tonight. May we know your presence for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.